Number one.
Miss any part of the show?
Every moment of every show is available in podcast form
by searching Hanson Scotty on your favorite podcasting platform or online at kslsports.com. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. All right, a little bit of an update. Some breaking news on the NHL move to Salt Lake City with the Coyotes. According to Sportico, and I'm just going to read this verbatim. This just got posted just about a minute ago. The NHL's executive committee has now approved the Arizona Cardinals sell, or Arizona Cardinals. Hey, we got an NFL team. Let's go. Arizona Coyotes to Salt Lake City. The relocation vote now will move to the entire Board of Governors. NHL did not respond for a comment. Essentially, it'll be in time for the 24-25 season. The cost of the sale will be $1.2 billion. Alex Morello will get $1 billion of that. $200 million will go to the rest of the league and be split up in terms of a relocation fee. And then Morello will have 5 years to build himself an arena, secure the land, and then he will be able to get an expansion team at that point. But there you go. So the first level of voting and approval apparently has gone through, and now it will move to the entire Board of Governors for the final approval. This is all formality, folks. This is happening. And it would not surprise me if near the end of the week there's a huge event is going to be for the entire city and for fans to welcome this team. But you know what? Here's the thing. Sam Farnsworth, he's not waiting for Friday. He's not waiting for Saturday. He's getting down to Phoenix right now and getting a hands-on look on what's going on right now with the Coyotes and what this future team here in Salt Lake City is going to look like. He'll have coverage down in Phoenix on Wednesday for their final home game and their final game in Phoenix. As a member of the Coyote organization. But Sam, how you doing, man? Good. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah, for sure, Scotty. I'm glad I can. You know, don't feel bad about calling them the Cardinals. I've been called out for calling them the D-backs more than once this past week. I don't know what's in the water, but for some reason, it's just not ringing Coyotes, which is a good thing, right? They're rebranding. They're coming here, new name, new team. Yep. Here we go.
Part of the agreement, by the way, is the fact that Alex Morello will be able to hold on to the name, the logo. Not that Ryan Smith would want to use that anyway. I think right. That he wants a clean slate and put his own fingerprints on this team. But Morello did want to hold on to the old logo, the old name, and everything else. So if he does get his expansion team, he could just slap that on there. But and you've been doing a tremendous job. Everybody there on the TV side has done a great job really breaking this thing down. You're a hockey guy. I mean, you covered the Avalanche for a long time, but just personally, from your perspective, how fired up are you for this?
I'm way excited. I mean, this is something that, you know, you can attend high-level college hockey, you can attend high-level minor league hockey, but nothing rivals what it's like to witness NHL hockey in person. I still remember the first time I saw an Avalanche game in person. Of course, I was a member of the media, but at the same time, I still got the chicken skin. I was like, wow, this is amazing. How have I missed this for this long in my life? And just to be able to witness it and be there. And now I'm super stoked that the people that I grew up with in Utah get to experience it now, that the fans that I grew up here in Utah with, they get to experience that, what that is really like. And to call that team their own, this is amazing. And so I can't wait for it to get here. I can't wait for Utah fans to be able to experience it, to embrace it, and to just fall in love with it. And to be able to have this, you know, major professional sports team. You know, I'm not trying to throw shade on the MLS or Major League Rugby or anything like that, but let's be honest, there's four major pro sports leagues in America, and hockey is one of them. To have them come here and be part of, you know, what we already have with the Utah Jazz, it's just amazing.
It really is. And I honestly, it's a bit of a coup for Ryan Smith to pull this off, because as the details start to emerge on this, there was high-level interest and high-level pressure put on by ownership groups out of Houston, ownership groups out of Atlanta to try to secure this franchise, whether to keep it in Phoenix or move it to their own cities. There was the barbarians were at the gate, and for Ryan Smith to be able to maneuver this in such a way, and I'm not blowing smoke here, it's just the facts. The fact that he was able to maneuver this and find a way to get this thing done when you don't have the market size of those two cities, but yet you are able to position yourself with the help of the legislature and the tax dollars in place to be able to secure this is just incredible. And this fan base better be ready to pony up and support as well, because you just got a great gift just thrown right in your lap, and now's the time to celebrate it.
Yeah, it's not like this was an easy transaction for the league. You know, Ryan Smith's been working with Gary Bettman for, you know, it feels like close to 2 years now, you know, more than a year for sure, where he's been just developing a relationship with him, getting to know him, letting him know that, hey, I've got interest in this to come to Utah someday. And it wasn't until January where Ryan Smith publicly said, hey, let's do this. We want an expansion team, Gary Bettman. And he made that official request, right? And even then, at the All-Star Weekend, Bettman was hesitant to say much other than they've had the most aggressive pitch for a team, that they have the interest in a team. But he's also trying to protect his league, you know? And we've seen what a franchise moving has done in other leagues at times, you know, especially the Sonics come to mind, right? What it's done to other markets. And it's not always a good thing. It doesn't always reflect greatly on the league. So the league is being cautious about this too. But one thing I've learned just through other reports and also through some people that I've known in the hockey, you know, circles, is that Ryan Smith has gained a lot of trust and with the other owners in the league. Not only that, they like him. They're like, this is the kind of guy we want in our ownership group. This is the kind of guy we want in our NHL circles. He's young. He's got money. He's a smart business mind. You know, this is the kind of guy that they've been wanting to have added to the league. And so that made it a lot easier when it came down to it. And the Coyotes weren't able to secure land, that their arena was voted down. It just kept pushing things closer and closer to this direction, to the point where today you just mentioned the report at the top of this segment of the owners throughout the league approving this sale, reportedly. It's because of Ryan Smith. They like him. They think he's going to do a great job, and they want him in the NHL.
So you've spent some time, and if you need to follow Sam on Twitter, Sam Farnsworth on Twitter, because you've really started to take a close look at this team. You probably in the media know hockey because you covered it when you were in Colorado, probably. So you know the sport better than a lot of us schlubs that are trying to get up to speed. I told Lloyd I downloaded a bunch of online books on rules and regulations and everything else just to get myself up to speed on this sport and really try to learn it from every angle so that we can talk with a certain level of education about it as we go into the offseason. But you know this sport. Just give me your evaluation of this Coyotes team and what we can expect.
I'm excited for this team. And, you know, I think maybe there's a little bit of a bias excitement that's going with it, knowing that we're getting a team here finally too. But when you just cut that part out and you really look at what's on paper, you look at what's on tape, what's been on the ice, especially over the last 2 months, this team is trending upward, and they're trending upward fast. Since like the third week of February, right around the All-Star break, they have been the top scoring team in the NHL. They have 6 players on the roster with 20 or more goals this season. That's second in the NHL. Their goalkeeper has 6 shutouts this season. That's tied for first in the NHL. The record doesn't reflect all of that right now. You know, they're not even close to the playoffs right now. But with what they've done over the past 2 months, you're like, this is a playoff team. And they're young. They have the second youngest roster in the NHL. There's youth all over the place on this roster, and a lot of it's homegrown kids, you know, guys that they've drafted, guys that they've brought in, 19, 21, 23 years old, some of these guys that are key contributors on this roster. And these are guys that are all under contract that are making the move here with the team. They will be in a uniform next year at Delta Center playing for our hockey team. And I really feel like next year they're going to be on the bubble of being in the playoffs. And if it's not next year, within 2 years, we're going to have a playoff hockey team here, a Stanley Cup playoff hockey team here in Utah. I mean, just let that sink in. Utah having a team in the Stanley Cup playoffs. That's amazing.
So you covered the Nuggets. You covered the Broncos. You covered the Avalanche. I do think this is a different demographic that will be at a hockey game as opposed to an NBA. I think that there are two different demos. And I do think that a hockey game feels a little bit more like a rock concert than necessarily an NBA game. Is that a fair assessment?
That's a pretty good comparison. I think when it comes down to just proud local sports fans, you're going to support both teams. But when it comes to the diehards, yeah, it's definitely two different audiences, two different fan bases. It doesn't mean you can't cross over. If you're a big Jazz fan and you're like, well, you know, I know basketball, I love basketball, I've been with the Jazz for decades, why would I want to cheer for hockey? Give it a try. Just give it a try and see what there is, because it is like a show, especially when you got a great atmosphere. I'll tell you this, in Colorado, even though the Nuggets now have a two-time, maybe even a three-time MVP in Nikola Jokic, they won an NBA title finally last season. In all my years in Colorado, the Nuggets were at the bottom of the barrel still, even when they had good playoff teams. Back in the Melo and Iverson days, when they were winning 55 games, the Avalanche fan base, it was a different fan base, but that was very supportive. They were packed in the arena every night. I've got a video. I'm going to have to dig this up from about probably like 2 weeks before I moved out here to take the job here in Salt Lake. I was covering the Avs in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and I did a video of their whole pregame introductions just on my iPhone. Just the show that they put on, the way every seat was full, a solid 15 minutes before puck drop. And the NHL, they just know how to excite their fans, and I really hope that translates over here. Because if it does, it'll be really easy for fans to jump on board. It's just so exciting, and to say it's kind of like a rock concert, yeah, I mean, it gets loud, it's rowdy, and it's a fun time.
We got to find the Salt Lake version of All the Small Things. Like, we got to figure out what's the song that's going to resonate with this fan base. And then, of course, obviously, everybody having a good time with the names as well. Where are you at on the name?
I think I took a little heat over the weekend because I posted a tweet saying, you know, I think Yeti would be a mistake. I just feel like it's a little minor league baseball.
Yeah,
league baseball names.
I got your back on that. I don't like Yeti either. No mythical creatures. Let's get away from that.
I'm not totally against mythical creatures or anything, but at the same time, it's like a name that I feel like is like the turnover in 5, 6, 7 years from now. It's going to be like, oh man, that was not a good choice. You know,
yeah.
In minor league baseball, you see those turnover all the time. I like the idea of it being a mascot, the Yeti as a mascot, but not the team name and logo. So we'll see what happens. I have faith that, the process will play out in a way that fans will all be excited. At least I hope that's the case. But that's kind of where I'm at right now. I'm not big on board with the Yeti name.
So you're heading down to Phoenix. Talk about what you look to accomplish and what we can expect on KSL Sports Live.
Yep, we'll be there Wednesday. We'll get there early, so we'll be there plenty of time before puck drops there at Mullet Arena to watch the Coyotes take on the Oilers in their final game as the Arizona Coyotes. We'll be able to get into the locker room to talk to the players afterward to kind of get their take on what's next. You know, the season's over. What's next? When do you go to Utah? Things like that. For as much as they're able to answer and give us that information, we'll have it. And then we are hearing that potentially a press conference Thursday or Friday with the official announcement. We'll be there for that as well. So stick with us all week. Starting Wednesday, we'll have all the coverage from Arizona.
Well, and we got you covered here on the Zone as well, but I love the fact you're going to be down there. And honestly, too, as much as we're having a great time with this and we're celebrating, and we should, this is, you know, right up there with, in fact, I think it exceeds the Olympics in terms of an announcement and a landscaping change to the sports world here in Utah. It's just amazing. But it's tough for Phoenix, and it's tough for these players. I mean, some of these guys have families, so they're going to have to uproot. Some people in the front office are probably going to be without jobs. I mean, it's a difficult situation that I think that a lot of people down there, it's going to be a little bit more somber in Phoenix than it will be in Salt Lake City here at the end of the week. But I think that's something that I'm glad you're going to be there. But I think the mood's going to be a little different there than it is here when you get back here to Salt Lake City.
Yeah, it certainly will. It's going to be the toughest on the fan base, second toughest on those front office people that are going to be cutting ties because the business operations side is not moving with the team to Utah. Players, I think they understand, just like any pro sport, that it's a business, that there's always a chance of a trade or a free agent relocation or something like that. Just not like this, where the whole team is moving together. That part's a bit of a shock, but I think they'll come to grips a lot quicker because they understand, hey, this is my business, this is my career. I'm still going to get money to play hockey. It's just not going to be in Arizona anymore.
Yeah. Well, Sam, appreciate your time. Thanks for hanging out with us. Great insight as always, and enjoy your time down there. Hey, you know what? Going to Phoenix in April when it's raining like crazy, that never sucks.
Yeah, we'll take it.
are you taking who with you too?
No, Matt Glade's coming this time. Yep.
Nice.
Yep.
Well, sounds good. Thanks for educating us, and we're gonna lean on you a little bit on this whole process. All right.
Hey, no problem, Scotty. Thanks for having me on today.
You got it. There he is, the great Sam Farnsworth, right here on 97.5 the EKSL Sports Zone. And again, follow him on Twitter. Make sure you're keeping tabs on him. He'll be on the scene on Wednesday, the final game in the at least current history of the Arizona Coyotes as they will make their transition here to Utah. And in case you're just joining us, again, the latest news, and again, everything right now is just formality. There's no issues here. There's no concern here. All we're doing is going through the process. And the NHL Executive Committee has approved, according to Sportico, the move to Salt Lake City. So that was the first step. The next step will now be the entire Board of Governors will then vote. That's all 32 teams. That obviously is going to happen. It's a lot like, you know, we make the joke all the time. You never ask somebody to marry you unless you really know what the answer is going to be. So this is a formality. This is happening, folks. NHL's coming to Salt Lake City. There's no worries. There's no concerns. There's not, I mean, there might be a hiccup here and there, but this freight train's moving and it's going to happen. So the only matter is, do we announce at the end of this week or early next week? I anticipate Thursday or Friday, maybe even as early as Wednesday, you'll have some kind of official announcement. And I got a sneaking suspicion that, look, Ryan Smith loves to throw a party, and I wouldn't surprise me one bit if there's a massive celebration coming up at the end of the week, and we'll have all the complete coverage for you right here on the Zone. All right, well, you want to throw a party in retirement. You don't want to be worried about making money, having to be an 80-year-old. Look, if you want to be a Walmart greeter, that's awesome, but you want to do it because you want to do it and get out of the house, not because you have to do it to supplement your income. You want to be in a situation in financially where you can do what you want in your retirement years, and Teton Wealth can help make that happen for you.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And if you're a hockey fan and you want to make sure that NHL tickets are a permanent part of the rest of your life.
There you go.
You know what? I know a lot of people who love following their college football team around in retirement. That's a big thing. Basketball too. That's big. Yeah. There's some big cool sports opportunities for fans in retirement. But like you said, you got to be ready. So let's get ready. There are five things you got to pay attention to. We lump all those into what we call the Ascent Plan. Every family we work with has an Ascent Plan. And if you don't have an Ascent Plan, you definitely need one. So let's do one for you. We're going to give away 10 Ascent Plans to the first 10 people that call in during this program today, 385-800-7967. That's 385-800-7967. And we'll do for you the same Ascent Plan that we do for our client families. It's a little stack of papers. It's got your name on the front, your information on the inside. And we walk you through all five of those areas that you need to make sure you got a handle on for retirement. There's a well-worn path to a great retirement, and if you're worried that you're missing the boat, well, we'll show you where it is. We'll show you how to get on that path. It's you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You just have to know and do a couple of things. So if you're worried about inflation in retirement, this is for you. If you're worried that you're not saving enough or that you've saved into the wrong type of account, this is for you. 385-800-7967. Or if you're just feeling disorganized, like, man, I've been saving my whole life into my 401k, but I still don't know if I'm ready. This Ascent Plan will show you if you're ready, if you're not quite ready, and the things that you need to do to make sure that you have the retirement that you've always wanted. 385-800-7967. That's 385-800-7967. I know this is going to bless your life. I've done so many of these, and I love every single one of them because of the information it shares with you and the attention it gives you. And you know, it illuminates the path ahead a little bit.
I know.
That sure is valuable.
Well, when your head hits the pillow at night, even if you just want to know you're doing the right thing.
That's right.
You want to know that you're putting up, you're on the right path to retirement, right, instead of just like, am I good? I don't know. Am I good? I don't know.
Well, and that not knowing, that's the root of anxiety and fear, right?
Yeah.
That's the unknown. And that's what causes that anxiety and fear. Once you go through this process, let me tell you something, that anxiety, that fear starts to come down. It gets replaced with some meaningful tasks and a lot of excitement because you know how to get to where you want to go. It's not a mystery anymore. You don't have to fear it anymore. So 385-800-7967. Let's just do it and then you'll be done with it.
385-800-7967. That's the number to call, 385-800-7967. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Mark Pope's gone. Kentucky made the announcement earlier this morning. He makes more money. He has his dream job. And pretty quickly after that, Mark Madsen issued a statement about how much he loves Cal.
This is a great day for Mark Pope, but I also think it's not a bad day for BYU. For BYU, if you do really well,
you can get the Kentucky job.
Yeah, look
at that. And coaches care about that a lot.
Yeah, so this is good. And also, you've got a guy who has been there at BYU, and I'm talking about Chris Burgess. He's your guy. He wants the job. He's told them he wants the job. They know it. Get this thing done. Don't jackpot around. I believe that Burgess is your guy. Go get him. You're in a good spot. Re-recruit the guys that you need to,
okay,
and then see if you can get some other guys into the program.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 to 10. Presented by Murdoch Hyundai, Utah's number one Hyundai dealer for 16 years in a row. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Locked on to Hans Olsen and Scotty Chin.
That's right, yeah!
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
And Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Again, hands out today. He'll be back tomorrow. I took Friday off, hands out today. And we'll be getting the gang back together coming up tomorrow. Dave Rice is going to join us. A lot of things I want to talk to Coach Rice about. He's been around the state. He's been an assistant at BYU, an assistant at Utah State, was a former head coach at UNLV, now taking over the reins at Slick. And we'll talk about that as obviously it's good to get him back in the mix and back here in the state of Utah, fired up to chat with him and get his thoughts on the world of college basketball that is crazy, turned upside down, and everything that goes along with it. So we'll chat with Coach coming up here in just a moment and get some thoughts from him and what to expect at Slick. I think that obviously that program has turned into a national powerhouse at that level. And for him to bring his expertise and his basketball knowledge to that job should be absolutely fantastic for that program. In fact, he joins us now, the new head coach of Slick, Dave Rice, kind enough to join us. Coach, how are you?
Doing really, really well. Thanks for having me on.
Really fired up to chat with you. You've made your rounds across the state of Utah, coach at UNLV. But let's talk about this opportunity. When Kevin Dustin calls you up and says, hey, I want you to take over this program, what are your thoughts and what ultimately led you there?
It's a program that's got great tradition. You think about I'm the fourth coach since 1991. Norm Parrish, of course, did a fantastic job, won a national championship. Todd Phillips, fantastic job, won a national championship. And Kyle Taylor's been terrific the last 5 years. And so this was a no-brainer for me. We love the state of Utah. We were here for 7 years, a year with Coach Morrill at Utah State, and then 6 years with Dave Rose at BYU. And so we love the area, great players, and just a wonderful opportunity for us moving forward.
With this weird landscape that we're living in right now with NIL and the transfer portal and everything goes along with it, is there a certain sense of you go to that level it's a little bit more for the love of the game and maybe kind of the old school feel of what college basketball used to be?
Well, I definitely love the game, and there's great basketball that's played at Salt Lake Community College, and we have a great league with the fantastic teams that are in our conference. And I just think it's a situation where there's been great basketball played at Salt Lake Community College over the years with great coaches and a great state that loves its basketball, and it just is a no-brainer for us to have the opportunity to come and be part of something that's really, really special. And so that's really the opportunity and the challenge for us moving forward, is to kind of live up to the expectation that's been set before us. But it's a great expectation and one that we look forward to have an opportunity to live up to.
So I grew up in Southern Idaho, and I love college basketball. But my love of college basketball did not come from going to Idaho State games or Boise State games. It went from going and seeing Jumpin' Joey Johnson and CSI back in the day and some of those great teams. And I don't know if people really truly appreciate how great that level of basketball is and the amount of stars that can come through there. I got to imagine that's got to be really enticing for you to play up against some really good teams and some great competition and really showcase some of these kids.
Well, there have been great coaches at CSI over the years, as you talked about, and great players that have gone through and played many NCAA tournaments and gone on to be pros. And Jeff Reiner's doing a great job at CSI, and Andrew May, who was a manager when I was at BYU, was at Snow, doing a great job. It's a great conference, and you're absolutely right. There's great basketball. So many players come to junior colleges in our conference and move on, and are major contributors at Division I level, and some even go on to the NBA. And absolutely, it's exciting basketball. It's competitive and a huge challenge for us. And we're just excited to be part of it.
What does it take to recruit? How do you shift, you know, what you've done at one level and now do it at the JC level? Is there a mindset change? Is there a different path that you look at in terms of athletes that you bring into your program?
Well, I think there's similarities. I think you talk about it starts with talent, but we're never going to sacrifice character for talent. Important for us to get skill. And again, there's great history of really good players coming through to Salt Lake Community College and guys who want to move on to the next level, whether it's Division I, Division II, NIA, Division III, whatever it may be. But I think it's all about relationships. It's about having the relationships with coaches, with families, and just kind of spreading the good news about what's going on in our program, what's gone on before, and just take it from there. And so I think it's about putting together the pieces of a team and having a cohesive unit that plays really good basketball, exciting basketball, and that's what we plan to do. But we're excited. The great thing for us is that Salt Lake Community College is a national brand and is relevant from a basketball standpoint. People know what Salt Lake Community College basketball means, and we're excited to be part of it.
So every coach has a type. When we talk about recruits, what's a Dave Rice type? Like what player, you know, obviously, as you mentioned, talent's number one. But what are the other intangible things you're looking for as you go out and recruit?
Well, we'd certainly be happy to find another Jimmer Fredette. That'd be good. But, you know, I think it's a combination of obviously talent, but skill, guys who want to make shots. I think the game has changed so much, and obviously the object of the game has always been to put the ball in the basket. But there's such a premium on guys who can make three-point shots. And we don't have guys on the floor who can make shots and give them confidence and freedom to go make their shots. And then play obviously really good hard-nosed solid man-to-man defense and just take it from there. I think it's about playing exciting basketball, putting a team together that plays together and plays hard on every possession and has the opportunity to compete for a championship in our league and then moving forward to the national tournament.
You know, I've talked to a lot of coaches that have been around you. I had a conversation with a former coworker of yours earlier today. And I was just over the moon with this opportunity you have and what he feels like you bring to the table. And he told me that the one thing about Dave Rice is that he always puts his players first. And he is concerned for the players and your concern in making sure that not only are they becoming a better basketball player, but they're becoming a better man and a human being and a future father and husband and everything else that goes along with it. Has that always been part of your DNA as a coach, to make sure that you nurture not only the basketball part, but all other aspects of the life?
That's how I was raised. You know, I was fortunate that my dad was a longtime high school coach. He was my high school coach. And then I moved on and played and had the opportunity to be part of two Final Four teams in UNLV and play for Jerry Tarkanian and learned and been associated with so many good coaches. And I've talked about the two coaches in Utah that I've worked for, Dave Rose and Stu Morrill. And I just think that's what it's all about. I had such a great experience playing, and I love the competition, putting together a team, but it's also about putting together a great experience on the court, off the court. And I always talked about with our players, the three things I want to do every day. Number one, I want to become a better basketball player through hard work, get better in the classroom, do what they need to do to achieve academically, and then touch someone else, because we have an opportunity with the platform that we have as basketball coaches or basketball players to make a difference in the lives of others. And I think it's important for us to do that each and every day. And so, yes, I think that's a big part of the challenge is making sure we win games, have a chance to compete for championships, but also become better people and give back. That's what it's all about. We have an opportunity every day to make a difference, and we plan to do that on and off the court.
What was I know last year you spent some time at Cal Baptist after wrapping up there at Washington as assistant. But what's your perspective of the game and the evolution of what we've seen in the landscape of college basketball? Are you concerned about the sport, or is it just like, hey, you know what? This is just what life is like now, right now, so we all have to adjust? Or because there's some people that are going gloom and doom and saying, hey, the world of college athletics is folding down upon us and it's all falling apart. Where are you at right now on all of this?
I think it's such a great game, and there's such a love for it that it's going to bounce back. It always does. There's great people who administer the game, who play the game, who coach the game, and I think we'll all figure it out. Obviously, there's some evolution in terms of NIL and transfer portal. We all understand that, but I think it'll all work itself out. But it's the greatest team game there is. It's a great challenge, but it's a great opportunity to be a coach and to be able to do it at Salt Lake Community College is a great opportunity for us. And I'm just excited to be back in a state where there's great coaches. You know, whether it's Craig Smith at Utah or Eric Duft at Weber State or obviously BYU. I was there for 6 years. And Utah State has a new coach. There's just great basketball in the state, and we're excited to be part of it.
So I want to get your thoughts on that BYU job. You spent 6 years there, as you mentioned. It's a unique job. It's not an there's obviously, you know, Tom Homo's got some work to do with a limited pool of available candidates. But how good can that job be, especially now that they're in the Big 12? And what kind of coach needs to be there to be successful?
It's a fantastic job. And six of the happiest years of my time in coaching were working for Dave Rose at BYU. I mean, I've had the opportunity to go to five NCAA tournaments and get to the Sweet 16, had the National Player of the Year. We competed extremely favorably against all the teams we played against in the country. We became a program that was nationally relevant. It was an elite basketball program, and certainly Coach Rose continued that on, and then Mark Pope did a really good job as well. And so, obviously, Tom Homo is a great leader. He'll make a great decision, and there's big shoes to fill with what so many coaches over the years, from Coach Reed to Coach Cleveland to Coach Rose to Coach Pope, have done. But it's a great fan base. It's a fantastic fan base. And what they did in the Big 12 this year, I just think it enhances their opportunity to be able to recruit and to be able to compete like they have been. And so I don't know exactly how it will end up, but it's a great job and great people and great administrators. And it'll be a great opportunity for them to move the program forward for sure.
I had Tim Lacombe, you know Tim really well. He and I were doing the broadcast of the Utah State game when Stu Morrill got the court named after him in that game earlier in the year or earlier last year. Just I know you spent 1 year with him, but what are your memories of coaching with Stu?
I learned as much in that year as any single year I've ever been in coaching. He's just a fantastic basketball coach and as good a person as he is a basketball coach. And we remained close. It was a thrill for me. And the challenge when I was the head coach at UNLV to be able to compete against his teams, and we stayed close over the years. He built a fantastic program, and I'm just glad that Utah State honored him, because he deserves to have his name on that floor because of what he meant to that community. Cache Valley is a special place, and you know, with what Coach Eustace did before him, and then what Coach Morrill did, and what's been done since. It's just great tradition to that program as well. And I had the opportunity to coach J.C. Carroll and Nate Harris and Spencer Nelson, among others. And it's just another example of a great basketball that's being played in our state.
Is there kind of give us your perspective of the talent level here in the state of Utah. Is there enough quality players to really start to continue to fill the needs of these in-state teams with the high school talent that's available here in the state of Utah?
I think that the high school talent level is as good as it's been in a long time, and it's always been good. I think it starts with the fact that there's great coaching. That was one of the things when I came to Utah State as an assistant coach in 2004, I was really struck with how good the coaching is in state. I mean, great high school coaches, great junior college coaches, and there's great basketball that's being played. And I think another thing is that basketball is important. It's a priority. And so from the time kids are young, they play, they're coached properly, they learn fundamentals, there are a lot of really good shooters, and they're competitive. And so, yes, I think it's become extremely competitive, and there's enough really good players in the state to fill a lot of the rosters. And obviously that's what we plan to do, is utilize the great players in the state to come, have them come play for us for a year or 2 years, return missionaries, bounce backs, whatever it may be, and then obviously supplement those players with guys from out of state with our national contacts. But it's just exciting to have that kind of a pool of players to be able to recruit from and help them, help our program become better.
So roster-wise, what are you looking like in terms of what you've got coming back? And I don't know, maybe you haven't had a chance to really delve into that much, but what are your needs and what do you have and what does next year look like?
No, that was a huge priority. That was one of the things from my experience of being a head coach before, was one of the first things I did was I wasn't able to be actually on campus, but did a Zoom with the returning players and got to know them, and we have talked on the phone early and often since then, and actually on my way up to be on campus for my first day on campus tomorrow. But I stayed in touch with those guys. And again, I can't say enough about the great job that Kyle Taylor did for 5 years and the coaches that came before. We've got a good nucleus of players that are returning. We're already starting to recruit some other guys to supplement our roster. And so we're excited. And I'll get to know those guys on a really familiar basis, but I've already started that process. But that was huge priority. When Kevin Dustin offered me the job and I accepted it, the first thing was to make sure that I got to know the players, because that's what this is all about. Mm-hmm. Giving those guys great experience and making them understand how much they're wanted, how much they're needed, and just start the process of getting, continue to get better.
Well, Coach, this is going to be the first of I'm going on a limb here, but I love chatting with you. I love your insight. Hopefully we can do this many more times throughout the college basketball season, but wish you nothing but great success there at Salt Lake Community College. A great program. You got a great AD who's one of the best dudes on the planet, and I can't wait till we get the season started and see what goes on down there.
Well, I can tell you, one thing I'm pretty good at is talent evaluation, and so I know how good your talent is, so I'd be happy to come back on with you. I really appreciate your time, and just like people have said nice things about me, everyone says nice things about you, and you do a great job. And I just appreciate, now that we're back in Utah, the way that you really put a premium on really emphasizing how great the talent is and the basketball that's played in our state. So thanks so much for having me on. I look forward to doing it many more times.
Perfect. Sounds great. Thanks, Coach.
Thank you. Have a good day.
And after all those kind words, the $20 bill's in the mail. We'll get you squared away. That's Dave Rice, who obviously assistant coach at Utah State, assistant coach at BYU, former head coach at UNLV, was part of those Final Four UNLV teams back in the day with Jerry Tarkanian, just a wealth of college basketball knowledge, and taking the job at Salt Lake Community College. And again, props to Kevin Dustin and the crew for being able to snag a big fish like him. He is going to be a huge piece of the local college basketball landscape. Hands and Scotty, Whole World News next right here on The Zone.
The NHL is coming to Salt Lake City.
It's about time.
I have been waiting decades.
This is huge news.
As Utah prepares to welcome the National Hockey League.
This city has long deserved a second pro squad.
The Zone will have all the coverage from every angle, as we'll be with the new team every step of the way. From every moment of the offseason, right up to when the puck hits the ice in the fall.
A new era in Utah sport.
Your home for the best coverage of the NHL in Utah is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Looking for the latest on the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies?
Yeah,
we've got you covered. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the Sports Zone.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Utah held their spring game on Saturday. We'll have Stevenson Sylvester hanging out with us. We'll recap everything that we saw up at Rice-Eccles on Saturday. Time for another edition of Whole World News, though, right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. We'll keep it pretty simple. It's tax day. So if you're like me and you put it off and you put it off, you better call your guy and at least get an extension, because there's one thing you don't want to be is on the bad side of the three letters, IRS. Yeah, you want to stay away from, you don't want to mess around with those dudes. And again, Ethan Millard's hanging out with us from Teton Wealth. And I think people look at retirement, at least I do, and you think of, okay, how much money do I have in the bank?
Yeah.
Going, you know, how much money do I have available to me when I hit retirement? And that's obviously one of the five key things that you're looking at.
Yeah.
But also, I think there's two things that people don't necessarily look at is tax ramifications.
Yep.
And healthcare is another thing that I don't think people realize, because, you know, you have your company policy and you know, it comes out of your check and you don't even think about it. You go to your doctor and you pay your deductible and you just got this little peace of mind that will always be there. Well, guess what? When you retire, it's gone.
All that's gone.
Yeah.
All that's gone. And I'll tell you, and this is why it's so important to consider taxes, because when you talk about spendable income in retirement, when you talk about using your assets for a lifestyle, you're talking about net spendable income.
Yes.
That means the money you have after you pay taxes. And it's really awkward for people who are preparing for retirement right now, because the number one savings tool in America is the 401k. And most Americans have saved most, if not all, of their retirement savings into pre-tax 401ks, which means you're going to pay regular income tax on your savings in retirement. That's going to be the highest, the highest taxes you'll pay is regular income. And, you know, that's unfortunate, because everyone's kind of expecting taxes to go up from here. So you really need to have a plan for how you can establish an income plan in retirement that is going to be tax efficient. Otherwise, you'll lose too much money to taxes if you don't do some careful planning. You know, when you hit retirement, you've got to have all those holes plugged. You can't overpay in fees. You can't lose money in silly investments and allocations, and you can't pay too much in taxes. You really have to tighten up that ship. And so we're giving away 10 Ascent plans to the first 10 people that call in. So if you call in right now, 385-800-7967, that's 385-800-7967. We can show you exactly what we expect your tax liability to be and give you a couple of ideas on how you can save some money, because taxes is one of those five areas you've got to pay attention to. So this is the same Ascent plan that we do for our client families. 385-800-7967. That's 385-800-7967. Let's do one for you so that you can find that well-worn path to a great, prosperous, and joyful retirement that I know you're looking forward to.
And I can't emphasize this enough. This is personalized, specific for each individual person. This
That's
isn't
right.
something where you just like, hey, you know what? We got to copy and paste the name in there, and it's the same thing for everybody. You're going to take a deep dive into every aspect and make sure that is a plan that they can say, like, this is for you, nobody else. This is your plan.
We put a lot of time and effort into these, and we've loved doing them for Zone listeners. We've loved getting to know all the great sports fans, you know, around here, and we love it. So 385-800-7967.
That's the number to call right now, 385-800-7967. The education, the assessment, that plan is yours for free. And again, personalized specifically for you and your needs. And then what you decide to do after that, that's up to you. But this Ascent plan is available right now for free, 385-800-7967. It's Teton Wealth right here on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.